the Tesla to it as well. But the question is some of it is an amendment to one, but what does that constitute? Is it another one or an adjustment to the first one? That's being worked out at the state right now.
Understood. Well, and it seems like that would have impact here, because if this bill were to pass, the provisions of this bill would go into effect when the first abatements start expiring. If there's some sort of a hybrid or roll-in with Tesla 2, that could get pretty messy. So what I'm curious about is our property taxes, roughly half, call it 53% of that goes to the county general fund, somewhere in that range. The rest of it is composed by a small component that goes to the state, a component that goes to the fire district, and two components that go to school district, one for debt service and one for operations. Is there anything in this bill that indicates that any of those other agencies are entitled to receive anything out of the distributions that are coming from this? Because the way that I read it, the way they define the local jurisdiction or the hosting jurisdiction is only a county or a city. And there is no provision for any of those other organizations to receive any portion of funding from this bill.
There is a provision under Section 10, subsection 4B, which says that the proceeds of taxes imposed pursuant to 374, which are the local school district taxes, would go to the Regional Powers Authority, would go to the Department of Taxation. They would put it in one of the accounts that's being set up. If the ordinance that creates the economic diversification district includes the reimbursement to the lead participant of those tax dollars, if the ordinance creating the economic diversification district doesn't have that in there, then it won't go back to the Department of Taxation.
Got it. And that is a difference between Tesla 1 and Tesla 2, is it not? No, that's on the sales tax
we
side.
We have another Tesla 2, yeah. That's
Tesla
still
2
subject
is
to the future.
Here. Still, yeah, has not been created yet. Understood.
I think they said they're not going to use the 374 taxes for future abatements.
Now, 374 taxes, those are school sales taxes or school property taxes?
Well, they reference four different provisions of 374.
Okay.
That I think is going to include all of them.
Okay. Well, I'll look into that further. But it sounds like there's no provision for the fire district to receive any portion of these funds.
There is not. Now, we are going to get the 20% plus we'll get the amount that exceeds the yearly average. And
right. But
there's no provision that says that will go to the fire district.
Right, right. No. So in essence, the county is entitled to receive that money, but we would have to then subsidize the fire district or transfer some portion of it internally. So in essence, the way the bill is structured right now, it is sweeping 100% of fire district funds and giving back a portion of those to the county with no regard for funding the fire district, which is currently responsible for providing services to these facilities. It seems like a substantial oversight in the bill. I just wanted to clarify the 20%, so there's 60%, 20% to the county, and then the additional 20%. I could be wrong, but when I was reading it, I thought that additional 20% was slated to go to the RDAs or the regional development authorities, which are different than the regional powers authority that would be created, but as you mentioned, Keith, divided up based on population. Is that, I just want to make sure that my understanding on that is correct.
Let me take it.
I think the question is if the Regional Development Authorities is the same as the Joint Powers Authority. They are totally different. One would be the state does economic development through its regional development authorities, like EDON or NNDA, for example.
Yeah, they're kind of the regional representatives of GOED within the different regions.
That's correct.
And so what that means then is if it's divided up based on the population in those, the bulk of those funds would go to the most populated areas within the state, meaning Clark County, Washoe County primarily, or within those districts.
I'm not sure what you mean. It sounds like to me, though, we're a member of EDON and we're also a member of NNDA. If they were to receive funds, then theoretically economic development would be happening in both counties, large and small.
Correct. But I believe the way that 20% is to be distributed is not evenly between the RDAs, but weighted for population within the districts of the RDAs, which means the Southern Nevada one would get the bulk of that money, with a portion coming to the local RDAs as well.
I think that's accurate.
Okay. Thank you. Those are my questions about the structure of the bill.
All right. Thank you, Vice Chairman. You definitely covered a lot of the unknowns, I guess. You know, personally speaking, I'm going to keep it short and sweet. A deal was made, you know, over 10 years ago. You know, I think it's just inappropriate to change the rules of the game midstream, especially maybe not even midstream, right at the end, when we're, you know, have been counting on this money. We've talked about the infrastructure needs that we have at Story County. You know, I mean, to me, this is an unbelievable bill. I can't even believe that they would put out something and be okay showing that Story County gets 20% of the revenue that we were banking on, promised, made many sacrifices for. So as far as I'm concerned, we absolutely have to oppose this in all shapes and forms. I don't see any opportunity for us to negotiate anything other than we get 100% of these abatements as they were promised to us, and even any abatements going forward, but I'll deal with what's at hand right now. So that's pretty much my position. I don't know how you feel about that, but...
Yeah, I'd like to hear if there's additional staff or public comment.
I'm again surprised to even see this, but I guess we knew it was coming. So that's my position. Is there any comments from the public regarding this bill?
Yes, commissioners. Jeremy Longcar for the record. And I don't want to dive into the nuts and bolts of the bill. We've already heard this, but I do want it on record on the county side at least, that based on how this comes out and how we interpret what they do, this could have such devastating effects on the fire district that it leads to layoffs. Because what we're currently entitled to under our GSA could very well exceed the money we would receive in taxes later. So without diving too much into it, again, just staying on the record and letting you know the stance of the fire district, I would just strongly suggest that we oppose it in its entirety as written. And we stand strong with that. Again, we've suffered through this. We've done it with as much minimal staffing as we could, with much minimal financial impact to these companies, knowing that this was for the long term. This was a goalpost that we put out there that we've worked hard to get to. And this bill doesn't just move the goalpost, it removes it. So, you know, I just want to go on record with that, and I'll take any direct questions, but this will be addressed again later too as well. Thank you.
You have any questions for the chief?
Yeah, Chief, I was just going to ask it to get it on the record. Putting aside operations and staffing, what kind of capital needs are we looking at from the fire side, just either to upgrade or replace existing structures and equipment, and then also needs for current for future expansion to properly serve TRI? Can we ballpark that just to get an idea of what's needed to maintain, just to maintain a level of service that's acceptable?
Yeah, and I want to back up just a little bit to really clarify it for the public and everyone else who may be viewing this, is that currently the fire district does not own any properties. These are county properties. So as the fire district's looking at expanding and how to provide these services, we do take into account also Station 75. That building's got a purpose. You know that someday we need to move into our own facilities and provide the county with that added space that we know we're running out of rapidly. So if you look at just fire station construction costs in just that one little element, for a very simple station, we could be down to $7-8 million. For something that needs to house the amount of staff that's required to deal with industrial fires and these types of hazards, we need to bump that up to an 8-man, and that's minimum. That's not a chief officer, that's just line staff. So that should have 8-person staffing per day, just that one station. In employee costs alone, for 3 employees, we just submitted a grant because obviously we're not getting the money. We're hoping to get the money. That runs over $3 million for the course of 3 years. We're looking at $1 million a year for just 3. So those costs can, as we're looking at the growth of the park, that's where the growth in the county is. We're growing out further and further down to the south on USA Parkway, which requires another station down there. Take that number and double it again. That needs to be a 4-man. Again, it's an industrial area. We need to ensure that we're covering any future development. I know one time we talked about quite a bit of residential going out in the Painted Rock. If we start putting our people out there, our residents out there, we need to provide those protections as well. So as we ball it all up, and this is very rough figures that I'd have to go back and look at and better define for everyone, but I'd anticipate that, you know, just to get this stuff into place, minus staffing, we're looking at a $30 million bill right off the get-go. And again, we've been kicking the can of what we had. You know, we made agreements. We made them very conservatively in benefit of the company. But we can't continue to operate that way. Again, this is where the growth is happening. We have to build with it, and this just removes that opportunity from us.
Great. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Is there any other public comment regarding this item?
Eric Kern, Assistant Sheriff, Story County Sheriff's Office. I totally agree with Chief Longcar. We're in a similar situation. This is unreasonable. It should be that how it's been in the past, that the local government is in the commission, decides how the funds are allocated. We have all suffered or gone under or not had as much staffing as necessary due to these abatements. The agreements were made. The sheriff's office agrees 100% that we should do whatever we can to oppose it and fight it.
Thank you. Do you have any questions for the assistant sheriff?
I don't. I did see a comment that I think the sheriff may want to chime in as well.
Sheriff Cullen, did you have something to say?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, exactly what Eric said, and we are on board with the fire department. We are already understaffed out there in the Tri-Center, and we're working really hard to get our staffing levels up. Every day we're responding to incidents, and again, the staffing is just, we're undermanned, and we're looking forward to that funding to increase our staffing levels and work on our facilities and build this department up to where it needs to be, to modern standards. So we're on board with the fire district, and as far as public safety goes, we're going to be looking, we need this money. So that's basically all I have to say. Eric covered the other part of it, so thanks.
Thank you, Sheriff. Any other public comment? Please.
Jim Hindle, Clerk Treasurer. This would also have impact on both the Clerk's Office, Treasurer's Office, and probably Controller's Office, and I'll let the Controller speak to it. While it may not be something significantly as we're talking about the impact on the Fire Protection District or the Sheriff's Department, this would be up to the Treasurer's Office to manage, because as I understand it, all proceeds are still going to come through Story County. And then it's up to the Treasurer's Office to make sure that we segregate proceeds and make sure they go to the right entities between the state and where the state would go. So depending on how the bill evolves, could also create more complexity on our ability to manage distributions from tax proceeds back to the different entities that are being defined for the cash flows. And while systems can do a good bulk of it, it's still on us for the auditors to make sure that we are managing it. We're going through the reconciliations and making sure that we're compliant, as well as being able to be responsible managers of the money.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment? Not seeing any. One of my last comments that I'd like to make, and I hadn't heard anybody talk about it at this point, but you know, if this bill were to pass, what I think the state, the governor's office, the region needs to be aware of is that this park grew because we were able to approve permits in record fashion, record speed. You know, if they intend to take away those proceeds from us, I think one of the things that Story County needs to make known is that, you know, we may not be able to approve permits in a week or 30 days. We may find ourselves approving permits in a year or two. And so as far as more economic development out at the park, it is going to stifle growth at the park. We simply just don't have the manpower. If we don't get the money that we had basically been planning on, we're not going to have the manpower to do inspections, fire inspections, building inspections. You know, the park is going to greatly suffer. And again, if the surrounding counties can see through the initial, I guess, tease of maybe getting some extra money through Story County, I think these folks need to realize, as we mentioned, Washoe County, I think, benefits every year $700 million in payroll. If growth at the park stops, they're all going to suffer with us. So something that at least I'd like to make note of is that, you know, we don't have the money to fund our inspectors. Again, growth at the park is going to come to a halt. And that would be, I think, terrible for the entire state of Nevada. So it's my final piece.
Mr. Chairman, I'll, you know, tie into that. I think it's important to note in this, the, you know, the crux of the bill is about impacts. It's about alleged problems that are happening in the neighboring counties because of, you know, economic activity. And we've heard this for 20 years in this county. And unlike in the past, we have the data now. We have actually looked at an analysis of single-family residences, multifamily residences, detached and attached. And in those cases, there's actually positive net revenue coming in to all three jurisdictions next door from Gigafactory workers. Assuming, for example, that one member of that household is a Gigafactory worker and the other member of that household is a regular member, not associated with a Gigafactory, and then a family associated with them. That model shows that this impact that goes in the neighbors is a benefit. And then all the existing reports that are done either by GOED or other qualified agencies looking at the Gigafactory 2014 and 2018. There's a 2022 report. There's other data out there that's published by reliable and valid sources, all suggesting the same. The region's benefiting from this. This is good for us all. And if I were someone concerned about any of these issues, I'd look at my jurisdiction and see how can we participate in this and energize our jurisdiction to attract our own type of a company that, you know, they find is appropriate for their area. Anyway, at this point, if you don't have anything else, we do ask for direction, it looks like, to oppose. And we'll give periodic updates to this board, possibly through special meetings if necessary. I appreciate your flexibility in holding these. I think they're important to do them expediently.
Thank you, Austin.
I have something else and maybe just some nuance on that instruction to staff. So one of the things that I'm not familiar with what the process is to attach fiscal notes to bills, but I'd like to instruct staff at all levels in the county to submit fiscal notes on what we anticipate impact would be, whether that's the treasurer having the additional responsibilities of allocating these funds, whether it's loss of revenue that was intended or planned on. At this point, I don't know if the bill gets a hearing. in committee. I mean, that's kind of inside baseball at the legislature. But I think doing all of our preparation, I think if you're comfortable with it, Mr. Chairman, also I would like to get a clearer picture of exactly what the impact is going to be. There's some ambiguity in some of these things. For example, this cap using the average abated amount per year, I want to look at what that actually is. Now, in concept, I oppose the bill entirely. I think it's a bad policy and a bad idea overall. It's going to have really negative ramifications. But I want to make sure that we have actual data on what we anticipate. And I know it's projections, but a clear picture of what those impacts would be in dollars and cents that we would expect to get under the formula that they're proposing in the bill. So those are kind of the two specific things that I would like to do, as not just put our foot down and say we oppose it, I'm opposed, but specifically instruct staff to the extent possible to attach fiscal notes to the bill that reflect the impact that the bill would have on us, and secondly to do some more analysis to get clear on the specifics of what's being proposed as far as the dollars and cents of it.
And Commissioner Mitchell and Chairman, if you don't mind, I do know, and I'm not speaking for her, but Comptroller McCain is working on that now and looking at fiscal notes to this and other bills, doing exactly as you suggest. This bill dropped about Monday, 7 o'clock-ish, right around in there. Could have been midnight. But at this point, so we basically had Tuesday and Wednesday to go through this, and it's pretty remarkable how all of us have gotten to where we are at this point in such short time. So there's still a lot more analysis and review to happen, and I certainly would welcome that as part of the motion.
Thank you.
Very good.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with your previous comments. So
should we formalize just that into a motion for direction on this bill?
Yeah, I think so.
And then move on to the others?
I think that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So this is Commissioner Mitchell. I would move to instruct staff. Sorry, do we move to oppose or take an official position of opposing and then also instruct staff? Do we do it that way? So I move that we take a position opposing this bill categorically and instruct staff to prepare appropriate fiscal notes and complete analysis on the specific impact of the bill as written.
All right, there's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Oh, yes. Welcome back, Commissioner Gilman.
Yeah, I'm here loud and clear. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, I'll move on to the next bill.
Please. But drink first.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioners. Austin Usborne, for the record. Senate Bill 81. This is just an update to renew request for motion to direct staff on this. So just a reminder to those folks that may be joining, Assembly Bill 240 that was approved in 2019 put the county managers in a room to discuss matters. The county managers create a report, and then out the door the report goes. Senator Daley, through Senate Bill 81, would like to, and this has gone a little bit better.